Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now, with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 18 of Romans chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading from verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're moving on into verse 5. And, of course, it begins with saying, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. And we know who is in view. It's Jesus himself, the one who is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by or through the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. It's speaking of God's salvation program, the glorious gift, wonderful gift he has bestowed upon his people. And we could turn over to John chapter 1. We read about God giving this grace, and I'll start reading in John 1 from verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we see by Jesus Christ, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, as it says here in John 1:17. But, you know, before we look at this grace that God has granted his people, we should look at the word received. It was used back in Romans 1, verse 5, by whom we have received grace. And it's used here in John 1. It's Strong's number 2983, found in verse 12. Actually, in verse 11 is a variation of it. It's the same word with a prefix. Strong's number 3880 in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Then in verse 12, but as many as received him, and that's the identical word without the prefix that we have in Romans 1 verse 5. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Those who believe in man's free will to become saved, those that think and teach that it's up to you, you know, Christ has done his part. He's done everything he could do in dying and making salvation possible. Now it depends on you, the sinner, and what you're going to do with it. And they like to use, those who, again, emphasize the free will of man. Verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you see, you receive Christ by accepting him or believing on him, and then you're saved. And yes, it's a gift of God, but you have to do your part by reaching out your hands to accept it, to receive it. And of course, they are just trying to have free will enter into the conversation, and they want man to do something. They can't imagine, they can't conceive of a gospel where the sinner does nothing. And yet that is the teaching of the Bible. The Bible presents that very kind of gospel. The gospel of the Bible has Christ and the sinner in view, the true gospel, just as the gospel, these other kinds of gospels, free will gospels, have Christ and the sinner. But the gospel of the Bible, when it shows us man, it shows us man like Lazarus, dead in a tomb, and the living God outside the tomb, who issues forth the commandment, Lazarus, come forth. That's a picture of salvation, resurrection of the soul, the first resurrection. Lazarus hears the command, but how could he hear when he was dead? Because God gave him life. God saved him, and in saving him, well, we know Lazarus was saved, but the picture of his physical resurrection is of salvation. I'll stick with the earthly illustration, the historical parable, which was a true incident in history. Christ commands the dead body of Lazarus to come forth, but Lazarus and his dead body, because it's dead, cannot hear. So, as part of the overall package of salvation, God gives life to Lazarus, and in giving him life, he receives ears to hear the command. And then he rises up from, maybe it was a sort of a rock bench or some kind of thing they laid the body upon. He rises up from that and comes out of the tomb, still wrapped in grave cloths. And then Christ says to take them off and to let him go, to loose him. Well, you see what the free will gospel does. Now, if we use that whole historical event as God does, as a portrayal, an example of salvation, the free will gospel begins with saying, with the word of God, who is Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, with the call of the gospel to the sinner and the sinner responding to the call. But you see, they're jumping a step, a very major step, to the point where they have ears to hear. Well, how do you hear this call? That is, if you're dead, how do you hear? Unless Christ has already given you life. And in that life, you receive spiritual ears. You can hear the voice of Christ. You then respond. But they skip over that. Well, let's look at this word, received. It's lambano, is how I pronounce it. This Greek word, 2983 in Strong's Concordance. And let's look at some of the things that God says that we receive. In John 13, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. That is, when Christ sends out the gospel, he sends his people, he sends the truth, they carry it as messengers, and if it's received, then we've received Christ, and if we've received Christ, we've received the Father, we receive God. In John 14, verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." And the implication is very clearly that God's elect do receive the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. We receive from God when we become saved his Spirit, and that gives us ears to discern truth. Whereas the unbeliever, the unsaved person, cannot receive the Spirit of truth. And that means when they hear the truth, they don't believe it. Jesus said that in John 8, remember? "Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe." And that has to do with a lack of the Spirit of truth. They do not have the indwelling Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So they don't have ears for the truth, which means they don't have a love for the truth, and therefore cannot receive the truth. God's elect receive the truth. So that's telling us a couple of very big things we receive. We receive the Spirit. We receive the truth. We receive these things when God saves us. In John chapter 20, starting in verse 21. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they're remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they're retained." This is more of the official giving of the Holy Spirit to the people of God as we receive the true gospel and the commission in the day of salvation. Go forth with that gospel, carry it to the four corners of the earth, far and wide, and share the truth of the Word of God. And as you do so, of course, we know that this is preconditioned by events in heaven. You know, whosoever sins having been loosed in heaven. We read in one gospel account that reminds us that God is doing the work, and it's only occurring because of what he has done first, and the action of heaven concerning the remission of sins and the retaining of sins, that is, those that are saved and those that are not saved, regarding the two-sided sword, which is the Word of God. So this would fit in, this receive ye the Holy Ghost, with what is said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the othermost part of the earth." So it's the official receiving of the Spirit within the churches and congregations. For instance, during the church age, or the receiving of the power of the Holy Spirit outside of the churches and congregations after the church age is over, during the little season of Great Tribulation. We could also go to Acts chapter 26, continuing to look at this word receive. Acts 26 in verse 18, going to back up because it just clarifies in verse 17, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. There's the faith of Christ. And that's what saves. And here the statement is made that they may receive forgiveness of sins. And if we are a true elect child of God, we have received this beautiful, unspeakable gift of having all of our sins forgiven. All of them. And the more sins we've done and committed, the more glorious the gift, isn't it? The more tremendous the gift. And this is all what God has given us. Receive ye the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Receive the truth of God. Receive forgiveness of sins. The abundance of God's grace towards us, it's just incredible and continues to grow, because even as we live our lives, we continue to sin. And the more we sin, the more grace we see that God has bestowed upon us and given to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Again, we have received, in verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. So we see once again the reference to receiving the Spirit, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we have received the Spirit of truth, we've received truth, and we receive knowledge, knowing the things that are given to us of God. And remember back in Deuteronomy chapter 29, there's that very interesting verse, the last verse of the chapter, verse 29, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto Jehovah our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God reveals his secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To you it is given to know, we read in Matthew 13, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That is the parabolic nature of the scripture, the revealing of the mystery of Christ speaking in parables or historical parables of the Old Testament, or parabolic statements made in Ezekiel or Daniel or the book of Proverbs or in Revelation or anywhere else, because Christ spoke in parables and he's the word, and without a parable he did not speak. These things are given to us. We have received them from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And if you ever wonder, now, why did God grant me understanding? How is it that I know about the end of the church age and so many other believers, professed Christians? They didn't know, in the sense of receiving it, understanding it, discerning the truth of it. Well, this is why. This is why. You know, or another individual knows and so many do not, which is in keeping with how it is with all truth. The few who are the elect know it because they've received it. The many, the non-elect, do not know it because they cannot receive it. They cannot receive the things of God, the Spirit of God, which is the truth. They therefore cannot know or come to a right knowledge of God. A wise man's heart discerneth time and judgment because God has given it to them as part of the overall package of salvation, and they have received it from the hands of God. But none of the wicked understand. The wise understand, we read in Daniel, but none of the wicked. The wicked cannot know. From Proverbs 28, verse 5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek Jehovah understand all things. Simply because it comes to us from God. Here it is. God causes us. He makes us to know as he grants us these things. Now notice also it said that the might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Remember that scripture in Matthew 10 that we often mainly associate with financial giving. You know, we want to support the Lord's work. Why? Well, the verse might quickly come to our mind. Freely we have received. Freely give. And that's what it says in Matthew 10, verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now, primarily, this has to do with salvation, or has to do with the truth of the Word of God. And we have received the Spirit. We've received the truth. We've received knowledge to know the truth, to know the doctrines of the Bible. We've received these things freely. Freely God has given them to us. Freely you and I and the people, the true elect people of God, have received these things. Therefore, freely give these things. And that does relate to giving of our funds or time, because in order to freely give the truth, well, we support a ministry that is involved in dispersing the truth and sharing the truth of the Word of God. And why are we supporting them? Because we have freely received ourselves. Now we wish to freely give others. And our understanding is, well, if they hear the teaching or if they receive the material, that they might receive the blessing of truth as I also have done. And that's why it gets into the area of financial support or a usage of other things like time and resources. Now, if we go to 1 Peter, there's actually a related verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see how that fits in with receiving these spiritual blessings from God, ourself in the first instance, as every man has received the gift. That would tie in with Ephesians 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. And their grace is also in view. And then even so, as you, if you're an elect, have received the gift, Even so, minister the same one to another. In the day of salvation, would bring the gospel so others could, who are elect, could obtain salvation through the hearing of the word of God. At this time, since we're in the day of judgment, if we have been fed by the truth and the knowledge of God regarding the end, the judgment, the revelation of his righteous judgment and so forth, minister the same. Minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And of course, to be a good steward, which is tied into 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, we're stewards of the mysteries. And that would mean we're stewards of the deeper spiritual truths of the Bible. The church cannot be, because they don't understand them. But only God's people are good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so we wish to share the true and faithful gospel, which is the truth of the Bible from Genesis through Revelation, as much as we possibly can. And we'll just go to two more verses. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, "For who maketh thee to differ one to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" And this gets back to answering the free will pastor or individual that attempt to make John 1:12 tie in with the idea that it's man's action, it's man's decision to receive the gospel and accepting it. No. It, as it said there, if we've received it, what do we have to glory in? And in John 3:27, it reads, "John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven." Every verse we looked at that talked about receiving the Spirit, receiving the truth, receiving knowledge, everything is part of the overall gift of God, and we can receive none of it unless God grant it as a gift.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.
Daily report. from our track team in Lima, Peru, handing out the tract entitled, Why is the World So Divided? And our team leader starts out by quoting